Your On The Mark podcast is loading now. The On The Mark podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Is scoring on a national basis down. Why? Because of how, in part because of how you officiate the game. People want flow. They didn't pay to watch you officiate. Can't stand the block charge thing. They were finally getting it right. Then somebody decided, no, well, wait a minute. We shouldn't do that. Somebody complained. I don't care. Complain till the cows come home. People want flow. They want points. NFL game yesterday. Anticipate. Don't anticipate. Call what you see. Hey, they picked up the flag. Once it's thrown, you can't pick it up.
That's the part that confused me. I don't think I've ever seen that. Without explanation.
The touchdown pass. The touchdown pass? You're telling me the guy for the Lions is not held into oblivion off the left side? Martin, the left tackle, isn't holding him? Really? He's got him hooked. That's what Detroit fans ought to be upset about. And I've heard some people say, well, Jim Caldwell should have gone for it on 4th and 3. What are you talking about? He went up, they tried to draw him off sides, then they punted. That is the right thing to do. I would do that 10 out of 10 times if I'm winning and have a chance to put them inside the 10. Now, it turned out to be a 10-yard punt. But your defense is looking at you saying, punt. Why do I want to go for it 4th and 3 with the lead and create a short field for them? And it's not just because it's Jim making the call. As you know, Jim Caldwell and I go back 30 years. Jim Caldwell and I used to sit out at Little League games together in lounge chairs. Talking about life. So obviously I do want Jim to succeed.
I'm confused about one thing, though, when we talk about pass interference. Is face guarding legal in the NFL?
Hold on. Okay. You're confused about one thing?
Well, for right now, let's leave it at that. How's that?
It's a new hour.
Let's just leave it at that for now. But is face guarding legal?
No.
I didn't think so.
It is. No, face guarding it. In college, the rule in college on interference is a little bit different than the rule in the pros.
Correct. That's
the way I understand. You do not have to turn to make a play on the ball in the pros. In college, you really do. Okay? So it is slightly different.
No, wait. Say that one more time. Say it one more time. I want to make sure I heard you right.
In college, they want you to turn to make a play on the ball. In the pros, you don't necessarily have to turn your head to make a play on the ball in the pros. So that part, it's the part where he's grabbing and pushing him. Now,
right,
Stafford
it's what happens
doesn't
before
help.
That.
Right. If Stafford puts the ball in the air up over his shoulder instead of into Carter's back, then you've got an even greater argument.
See, most people are talking about having his hands up and his back toward the ball, which isn't pass interference in the National Football League.
Not in the NFL. No, not in the pros.
But
in college, they would have called that right away.
If nothing else, there should have been at least illegal contact or a hold called.
Yes, he is pushing him, and he's more than 10 yards down the field. He does have his hands on him beyond 10 yards down the field. You're not allowed to do that. Now, at the same time, the tight end has his hands on Carter, too, at one point in that play. It wasn't like they, he was like, oh, my goodness, little sweet Mary Sunshine, they didn't touch me.
But would this have changed? Would this whole conversation have been completely different if the official would have done what I think a lot of officials are doing more and more of now, explaining the situation to the fan, including the fan watching the TV, by saying, we're picking up the flag due to the fact that there was no pass interference with the defenders back to the football? Or if you want to simplify it even further by saying face guarding is not pass interference, we're picking up the flag.
It probably only would have said there's no pass interference on the play.
Well, but I see a lot of times officials are actually going into an explanation, which I don't think is always a terrible thing.
Gene Steratore, Ed Hockley, that'd be the two primary ones.
Ed Hockley is outstanding at it.
Well, Gene is too. Gene's very good at explaining. I was kidding Gene about that one day. You know, we see him often enough. I mean, in fact, Gene did the Penn State-Wisconsin game in Madison last week. And, you know, I knew Gene's dad. He officiated Penn State games back in the old Atlantic 10 days. And so what's the deal with the explanations? I said, is this opportunity for camera time? He goes, he says, well, yeah, it's my opportunity to shine in America, Steve. I said, yeah. Well, Gene's a great official, awesome guy, and very good basketball official, very good NFL referee. They're very hard on them. Look, they're very, very hard on them. I mean, you know, he got knocked down a little bit last year on the officiating scale. Because they didn't like him tipping his cap in Baltimore when they came back from the lockout. Believe it or not. They also were not happy with how the game at Seattle was officiated last year, because he had the NFC Championship game with the Niners. They're hard on officials. I mean, for people who don't think that they are not graded hard, looked at hard, and so forth, it's one thing when it comes to officials. The last thing you want is to have people think that there's something not right with your game. And especially when you're talking about a sport, and every sport's in this category, where money is placed on it, where money is riding on it. You can't have that perception. You just can't. That's why you talk about the explanation. And I think it's good to have the explanation by the official if they know it. Because what's the biggest perception the NBA has? The biggest perception problem the NBA has?
Well, I know what I think it is, but, you know, it might be different for most people.
Okay, the biggest perception problem with the NBA, despite what Colin Cowherd thinks, everything with him is a social issue. No, it's not. All right? If it were such a social issue, why is Kobe Bryant's picture up in households all over Southern California regardless? Okay? I mean, really. All right? The biggest problem they have is the perception that all you need to tune into is the final 2 to 3 minutes. Oh, and the Heat get every call. LeBron gets every call. Jordan gets every call. The Celtics get every call. All right? That's the problem with the perception of the league. That's a perception. That doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean it's true. But that's always the perception. I don't need to watch the first 45 minutes. Just watch the last 3 minutes. All right? That's when everything happens. Oh, and by the way, LeBron's going to get every call down the stretch. Okay? He's just going to. Yeah, just like Duke's going to get every call. Duke gets every call. You know, just walk down to the floor. Good news. They have 16 fouls. but that's a joke. I mean, you just, because we're making fun of the stereotype of the perception, okay? And that's the problem. You don't want your game perceived where the perception is LeBron gets all the calls. The perception is Bird got all the calls. The perception is that Michael got all the calls. The perception is Shaq and Kobe got all the calls. You know what I mean? You don't want that perception to be out there, you know, even though it's easy for everybody to, and that's the biggest problem that they have. I mean, the two problems are the perception is that the stars get every call in the league, and number two is you only have to watch the last 2 to 3 minutes and feel like you've seen the game. Those are unfortunate cemented stereotypes for the NBA, which obviously has the best basketball talent in the world. The last thing you want in the NFL, the Cowboys get every call. They just want them to play Green Bay. It's better for the ratings. They don't want Detroit. Well, if that's the case, why is it this is the first time Dallas has gone this far in a long time?
Now, I have a slightly different theory on Ed Hockley explaining everything. I think it's because he's an attorney at heart, so that's his normal mode, is to explain it. So I just that's just part of who he is.
Oh, maybe.
And again, I'm not complaining. I like that. I like that a lot as a fan.
But they are very hard on officials in terms of grading. We have had Bill Carollo on this show.
Yes, we have.
And Bill Carollo, who has refereed the Super Bowl 3 times in his career, is the head of football officiating for the Big Ten. And I told you when Penn State had the Ohio State thing that if I called him, he would call me back.
And he did.
And what did, he do? As he said to me, he says, Steve, you never call me. He said, and by the way, he listens to the games all the time. He's talking, he told me 2 different things Jack and I said that I forgot we said. And they were funny things. They weren't had nothing to do with officials. And he said to me, he said, another thing, too, is you don't officiate the game in the air. And I don't. I don't officiate the game in the air. I mean, you know, you say, you know, that might not quite be right, but then you go to the next play. You know, the people that get in trouble to me are the ones that keep going back to, that call. Yeah, the heck with that. There's somebody got to drop it. Hey, guess what? You got to announce the next play. They got to play the next play. They got to coach the next play. Go to the next play. And he told me the grading system. They are tough on officials as to how they grade. Right? And we've had the head of men's basketball officiating on the show as well. And same thing with Rick. Very hard as to, they get instant stuff, instant breakdowns, instant cut DVDs showing what they've done. They don't need the coaches. I mean, the coaches will call and say, hey, what about this, this, and this? Well, they've probably already looked at the cut reel. And they're tough in terms of grading. Why are they so tough? A, that's their job. And B, they need to make sure that at all points that the integrity of the game is beyond reproach, despite the constant feeling by every fan base in America that their team gets the short end of the stick. And every fan base says that their team gets the short end of the stick. Always. Even Duke basketball fans. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Cowboys, by the way, get Green Bay Sunday, the first time they've played a postseason game at Green Bay since the Ice Bowl game in 1967, which I watched. And in case you're wondering, the temperature at noon in Green Bay on Sunday is 7.
That's just the temperature. That's not the wind chill, right?
The wind chill is 2 below at noon. And it's a noon kickoff there on Central Time.
That's a heat wave, though.
It is, because they'll be below 0, but they'll actually start out the day below 0. They're going to start at 7 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning, it's still going to be 1 below 0. 9, it's going to be 0.
and a kickoff will be at 7 degrees. The wind chill will be 2 below. Fabulous. And they're going to have 80,000 fans there.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say. There's not going to be one fan that's going to be too cold going in.
Nope. Not expecting any snow. It's going to be sunny out. It's going to be bright sunshine. But the day of the Ice Bowl was bright sunshine, too. And that was 13 below zero.
That's what makes it colder sometimes.
It's going to be 20 degrees warmer. And actually, the wind chill that day was, I think, 46 below. So the wind chill here at kickoff will be 2 below. So it's going to be a whopping 42 degrees warmer than when Don Meredith and Bob Hayes ran out there and went, I'm not doing this. Are you nuts? Not doing this. I watched that game. It's one of the things about football that is interesting for my generation. I've seen every Super Bowl.
Yes, you have.
And that's really neat. The World Series goes far enough back, Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA finals, they all go far enough back. The Super Bowl, I mean, the NFL championship game, AFL champion, well, actually, I was alive for every AFL championship game, too. But every Super Bowl I've seen. And that's one of the neat things about my generation. You know, when I talk about Green Bay, I watched the Packers-Cowboys game. I watched that game on, I think it was New Year's Eve 67, wasn't it? New Year's Eve 67. By the way, Donovan Smith's going to play in the Senior Bowl, and Miles Diefenbach will play in the East-West Shrine Game.
So, you had mentioned last hour that probably saw the last game in a Steeler uniform, or maybe a period, for Troy Polamalu and James Harrison. Troy said it's a fair question to ask, but he said right now they just lost the game and he's not prepared to even think about it or talk about it at this time, but time will tell. I honestly believe we have seen the last game for both of those players. And honestly, I'm all right with that.
I think Polamalu is going to sign with the Ravens.
I've already dealt with that once in my lifetime.
It said that for a reason.
I dealt with that once in my lifetime where my favorite player became a Raven. And by the way, congratulations to John Urshan.
I talked to John during one of the bye weeks. He was at practice one night. I asked him, what's it like? I said, going from Penn State to dressing near Terrell Suggs.
He's the only Raven I like right now.
Well, coming up tomorrow night, Shikalimi will be at home with Sealens Grove. Wrestling. And basketball on Wednesday. I don't know why you say the coaches' show's at 6:05. That's on Thursdays.